An audio excerpt from The Curse of the Neverland by Lindy MacLean, read by the author. Chapter 8. Negotiations. "Don't you have anything cheerful you can think about?" Belle knew she sounded as exasperated as she felt. Apparently not. The girl had climbed for the umpteenth time to the top of Marooner's Rock. It was the perfect spot for flying, or for high diving, as the case may be. So far it had been all diving with a few body flops and cannonballs mixed in. The kid must be made of stone. The only direction she flew was down. The girl summoned an intense look of concentration, inhaled, and leapt out into the air. Belle knew it wouldn't work before she heard the splash. "Nope," she said, throwing up her hands in frustration. "I've seen furious, determined, longing, and heartbroken on that face." It didn't matter that only the barnacles heard. The child surfaced, sputtering and out of earshot. "But not a single sunny face." Belle frowned and continued. "A few smiles, but not real ones. I need one that starts at your toes and ends at your nose, like Peter used to say." She flopped into a silky round of a seashell left behind by the mermaids on a promontory of Marooner's Rock. Playing flight cheerleader for the last hour had exhausted her. She scowled, caressing the shell's enamel. "Vain she creatures, those mermaids. They always did think far too much of Peter." "I can't take any more of this," Pip shouted as she thrashed in the salt water. "I'm through." Instead of swimming back to the rock, she angled toward the mainland. "Wait, wait!" Belle flew to water level, skimming a few inches above the sea, and speaking each time the girl turned toward her to breathe. The girl's stroke was steady and strong. She had excellent form. While the kid was underwater, Belle growled, "Too bad you don't fly as well as you swim." To the child's face, she wheedled, "Come on, do you have to be that way about it? Let's sit on the rock together for a bit and talk." Water spat in her direction. "Oh, all right." Belle increased her altitude. "Be that way. I'll wait for you on the beach." She flew ahead in a huff. "I feel for you, honest," she muttered to herself. "It couldn't have been any fun stumbling on Little Jack feeding that beast, not to mention realizing your parents were dragon fodder." Belle shivered. "Gave me the willies the first time I saw him serve up a human cargo, and I've known Little Jack since he was a tyke. None of his childhood pranks ever came close to this, though." She found a new enameled seashell and settled in to recover a bit of her spent energy. "Good thing you don't know that poor lot of jailbirds got collected last night while he was looking for you." Talking aloud to herself made her look crazy, Belle knew, but it was a habit she wasn't about to change. After Peter had left, it had been a comfort. These days it actually seemed to help her think. She watched the child swimming toward her and sighed. "No, it couldn't have been easy for you, kid. But you need to forget about it. Move on. The Neverland needs saving." If this girl wasn't up to reviving her precious home, Belle didn't know what she'd do. Finally, the girl reached the shallows and waded to shore. Choosing a dry patch of sand near Belle, she stretched out in the sun. Rivulets ran from her clothes. At least they'd served to protect the kid. She'd really smacked the water hard a few times. Eventually, the kid spoke. "It's no good. We'll have to think of another way." "Another way to fly?" Belle couldn't disguise her disgust. "You think I'm going to drag you around by the belt loops forever?" "Sure you will," the girl snapped, "if you need me badly enough." She lay in silence for a while, arms crossed, brow knit. "I didn't mean flying. I meant another way to defeat Captain Littlejack." Belle stared at the girl, calculating. That way lay quicksand. She'd known the kid would want to fight the pirate captain, but she had no intention of letting anything truly awful happen to Little Jack. She needed to keep this child's attention focused elsewhere. Actually, She'd hoped Peter's heir could revive the Neverland just by showing up. No fighting necessary. She'd imagined she'd be as full of joie de vivre as Peter had been, and things would start to come to life of their own accord. The girl would fly, crow, laugh, and blooms would burst forth. Time would stop, and all would be well. After all, no amount of evil could overcome true joy. But it wasn't working out that way. So now what? Belle cleared her throat. What did you have in mind? The kid turned toward her. I was thinking Peter had a gang. He had backup. You mean the Lost Boys? And you, of course. I was never backup. Belle knew she sounded peevish, hardly a mature response. She gave herself a mental nudge to mind her manners. The girl shrugged. Have it your way. I just meant when he was in trouble, you helped him out. Oh. Belle rearranged her wings. Maybe Peter's heir hadn't meant to insult her. So, anyway, kid, you were saying? Kid? The girl turned to Belle and glared. Do you even know my name? Or do you only know Peter Pan was my grandfather? Of course I know your name, Belle retorted. Yeah? What is it? Piper Pizzini, Belle said primly. She didn't look at the child. Why couldn't she have been named Pan? Hadn't the family the sense to pass on the name? But no, Peter himself had become Peter Baker, once adopted. Not only had no one had the sense to change it back, but the child's mother gave her the father's last name. No wonder the kid had no idea who she really was. Pip, the girl said. You can call me Pip. Or, if you can't manage that, call me Pipsqueak. One corner of her mouth curved in a half smile. That's what the girls at the foster home called me. How about I just call you Trouble? Belle challenged. The kid stared at her for several seconds, then nodded. Maybe that's best. I don't think we're going to be friends anyway. Okay, Trouble, then how do you suggest creating backup for yourself? I was thinking we could go back to the foster home and rescue the other girls. The lifers, that's what they called themselves. Belle sneered. What kind of name is that? Sounds like a prison gang. You should change it to the Lost Girls. Pip shook her head. Too wimpy sounding. If you're lost, you need to be found. That's no good. She scratched her head while she thought. We've got to change the idea that girls only get to come to the Neverland for spring cleaning, like Wendy. She brightened. What about Piper Pan and her merry band? Belle said. As in Robin Hood, you mean? Yeah. The kid looked surprised. You know about Robin Hood? Of course. Does she think I was born yesterday? Not a bad name. Belle frowned. You do know I can't generate enough fairy dust right away to fly all your friends here. How many are there? 7, plus me. Trouble pulled at her lower lip. Belle winced at the not-so-attractive habit. It would take at least a cycle of the moon to make enough pixie dust for 8 of you, plus there's flying you from here to there first if you can't do it on your own yet. Trouble narrowed her eyes. Very nice of you to remind me. You're welcome. Hey, I know! Trouble leapt to her feet. Sand rained on Belle. Lippets and starfish! Watch what you're doing, will you? Oh, sorry. Trouble backed up a step and brushed sand off her pants. So, do you want to hear my idea or not? I guess I'm going to hear about it either way. Belle flew to a perch at a safe distance. Why not build a ship? A ship? The girl had lost her mind. Not a ship, a boat, a small one, so you could cover it with pixie dust and not bother with us kids, like a sailboat, or how about a rowboat? A long one. The girl paced as she talked. I know, we could make a dugout canoe. Maybe the Indians can help us. Belle pursed her lips and shook her head. Long gone, before Sincarez got here. The pirates captured all the Indians and made them walk the plank. Trouble slumped. Flying in lazy, looping circles, Belle considered. Perhaps she could strike a bargain. Something that would not only serve her own ends, but would also present no real threat to Little Jack. After all, how much mischief could 8 girls create? Girls, mind you, all sound and no fury. No fun either, if you asked her. "Tell you what," Belle said, "I'll make a deal with you. I'll help you get your backup team, if you promise to learn to fly when we return." "What if I can't?" "Fly, that is." The troublemaker folded her arms and hunched her shoulders in suspicion. "I don't see how you can possibly be Peter's heir and not be able to fly. You just have to try harder." Peter's granddaughter narrowed her eyes, regarding her for a long moment. Finally, she straightened. "Okay, it's a deal." She spit in her palm and held it out for Belle to shake. "Ugh, you expect me to touch that?" Belle wrinkled her nose. "I don't think so. You'll have to take my word of honor." Trouble didn't have to know. Fairies weren't exactly known for sticking to their promises. News for another day. "A longboat is made from a hollowed-out log, right?" Belle asked. "I think I can find a crew to help you make one." With that, she buzzed into the air, hoisted Trouble by the belt loop, and hauled her back to camp. It would be much more impressive, not to mention dignified, to fly on my own. When Pip fell in a heap at the foot of her tree, she squawked. "Can't we at least figure out a way to set me down instead of dropping me?" Belle uttered something unintelligible. Piper decided to ignore her. She started walking, inspecting the various fallen logs nearby. "This one is just about the right size," she said, pacing it off. "Long enough for 3 rows, wide enough for 2 abreast, space for 1 to steer at the rear." "That's space for 7. What about the 8th? Belle hovered in the air at Pip's eye level. "The 8th is Thumb. She's only 4. She'll sit in the bow and call the strokes." Belle nodded. "So you need a small bench, front and back, and 3 wide ones between, right?" "Yes, and oars. 6 for rowing and a 7th for steering. A small mast, too, if it can be managed. A detachable one." "To hoist a sail?" Pip shrugged. "Could be. Or at least to fly our colors." Her excitement faded. "But how are we going to do all that without any tools?" "Simple," Belle said. "Delegate." 10 minutes later, Pip sat on a boulder, watching in awe as Belle gave orders to her crew. The termites were to make the boat, eating away everything except the shell and benches. The carpenter ants set to work on another log, making oars. "All set," Belle said, looking proud of herself. "You stay here and supervise. There's something I have to take care of." She darted off with a whirr of her wings. "Okay, then. Don't hang around and help out or anything," Pip grumbled. Watching the laboring insects, her eagerness grew. This could really happen. She could go get the other foster girls, and they could all attack the pirates together. Pirates, that reminded her, she needed to make a flag. Piper searched the ground for a good-sized piece of burned wood. Next, she opened her backpack and pulled out her faded pink baby blanket. Besides her mother's swords, this blanket was her only remembrance of her happy life with her parents. Using the wood as charcoal, she drew skull and crossbones, surrounded by a large circle with a single slash through it, the international sign for knot. First on one side of the blanket, then repeated on the other side. "Pirates not allowed." Pip savored the words, liking the flavor of anticipated revenge. "Those pirates will never know what hit them."